Rise up, Red Sea.
All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio Season 2, Episode 2. We're back again. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. We're wasting no time getting into it today. We have a very special interview coming off a historic season for Stags baseball, which included first ever top 25 rankings, a 33-1 regular season record, first ever MAC at-large bid to the regionals, and of course, a Coach of the Year award. Well, welcome in today, Fairfield Baseball Head Coach Bill Currier. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
All right, so obviously we talked about the accolades from this season. We had a great time watching you this season, covering you guys on our show and on our Twitter and everything. So today we just would like to take a step back and pretty much cover all of last season, if that sounds good with you.
That sounds good.
All right, so going back to last season, prior to the season, going into the year, obviously you had the COVID guidelines. You had just come off a canceled season. So how did those guidelines change how you had to navigate, you know, a normal buildup to a season?
Yeah, it mainly affected us in the fall. Obviously on campus here, we had over 650 cases. We had 23 of our own players with a positive case in the fall. We had two-week shutdowns in the fall where we could not practice or do anything with our players. So half the fall, because we usually go 6 or 8 weeks, it kept us from practicing. So a lot of the work the guys were doing at this time were on their own. So guys were, lifting at different gyms if they were open. They were doing all sorts of stuff just to keep themselves in shape and going. So when we could practice in the fall, we at least didn't have to start back at the starting gate again. So that was difficult for the team. The guys did a tremendous job on keeping themselves in shape, keeping engaged. We had a lot of Zoom sessions with them, just strategy things, mental awareness strategies and all sorts of things, so guest speakers. We had a lot of stuff going on right up until we could come back for a second semester at that time, Kyle.
So, Coach, you mentioned how hard it was the fall for your team with the COVID guidelines. So did that change your expectations for last season? And did you know, like, this team was going to go on to do what they did, or were you a little skeptical?
Well, expectations were high. We knew we had some very good returning talent. It's getting everybody in shape, getting everybody healthy, and making sure they were, running the negative COVID exams too. So every time that happened with the team, because we tested every Tuesday here at school, so we never knew, who exactly was going to be able to play that weekend, or any team was going to play, because all the college teams were doing about the same thing. So what we didn't know is what the NCAA was going to allow us to start. We didn't know when the MAC, our conference, was going to allow where we were going to be able to play, who we were going to be able to play. So when they finally decided that we were only going to play conference games, but we were going to play four a weekend, so 36 games, so it was a reduced schedule, but it was going to be pretty intense on the weekends where we're going to not play during the week. So Our pitching was, that's obviously you're not going to need quite as much pitching without, usually we play Tuesday, Wednesday during the week also. So it was a little bit of change of focus a little bit on just conference games. And usually we play down for 6 weeks or five weeks. We play Southern teams and go on trips to North Carolina or Florida and things and kind of get ready for our conference games. This year, we started with Canisius at home, and the first pitch was a conference game. So everything it meant was on that first pitch. So, and from there on, it was going to be everything mattered about who's going to get to the playoffs and who's going to win the league. And so it was interesting, quite a bit different than we're used to.
Yeah, so you talked about the beginning of the season there and how, it was a conference-based schedule. So, you go into the season, you're winning a few games, obviously you have a good team, but was there a specific moment or game in the season where you knew that the team was no longer just a good team, but actually had a chance to be a historic team?
Well, we knew we had pitching. We had all three starters back, Trey McLaughlin, Mike Sansone, and Jake Noviello, all back. So we were pretty confident in our three starters. We had to find a fourth one, which didn't take very long. John Signor was also here too. So those four starters were all set to go, and just getting them healthy and getting them ready to go was the key thing. What we didn't really know was some of the hitters. We had a proven hitter in Dan Ryan, center fielder, and we had a proven hitter in Justin Guerrera, our shortstop. So other than that, you know, Mike Caruso hadn't done a lot offensively. Mike Handel hadn't done a lot offensively. Mike Bichetti or Charlie Pagliarini, our third baseman, hadn't done a lot already. We had a new transfer in at first base, Sean Cullen from Union College. We weren't sure, you know, we hadn't seen him play, certainly in Division I yet. So we did have a lot of question marks with our defense a little bit and our offense. But we really, we had four or five of those guys all step up and improve their game and really turn in some good offensive numbers also.
Yeah, that's great.
That's what really, Kyle, made a big difference, because we knew we had the pitching, but we had to make sure we could score some runs and play good defense. And we played very well, very good defense, and we hit also up and down the lineup most of the whole year. So that's certainly a good balanced offensive attack also.
Yeah, that's great that you mentioned that. Me and Jack obviously didn't know a whole lot about the team going into last year because there was the canceled season. And I wouldn't have guessed that, you know, some of those guys you named didn't necessarily prove themselves before, including Caruso,
yeah,
who's
they were
player
so
of the year at the end of the year. So it's crazy how they just had incredible seasons off of, you know, you said they didn't produce before that.
Yeah, well, they did okay, but not like they did this year, that's for sure. The biggest surprise certainly was Mike Handel, our leadoff hitter. He led the team in hits and batting average, and played a great right field for us. And so he stayed in that number one spot the whole year. He certainly set the table, also hit six home runs, so did a good job. So, you know, Dan Ryan hit over 300, had seven home runs, I think. Caruso was player of the year of the conference, which, you know, as a catcher, it kind of is an offensive award, but he was our general on the field, did a great job behind the plate. And not to mention Sean Cullen, the fifth-year kid from Union. He hit fourth for us all year and hit really well also. So had a lot, he had the most RBIs on the teams, him and Guerrero. So, you know, those are unexpected a little bit, and real happy with the way they produced through the spring.
Yeah, and Sean Collins from Jackstown.
Yeah.
So he was a big fan of him.
So I recognized the name, and I was surprised to see it.
It's Jack's fault then. You didn't come here as a freshman. Huh, Jack?
All right, so moving on, right? So one of the things I'm always interested about when you talk about, you know, great teams in history that have had incredible winning streaks, they always talk about how hard it is to get there, but then how much harder it is to stay there when you're on the top and you're on a streak. So how did you navigate keeping the players and the staff focused and hungry during, you know, like the undefeated run and just the whole season in general?
Yeah, it started out, you know, 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, and, you know, our guys were pretty excited about that. And, you know, a job of our coaching staff was to keep them humble a little bit and understanding the game of baseball, how you could have one pitcher throw against you and you're going to lose 2-1 or 1-0. So certainly that can happen here and there in baseball. So we kept them humble. We kept telling them there's better teams out there. Keep working at it every day in practice. Come to practice hard, just like you've been doing all preseason and during the season so far. Keep it up, you know, but hey, you know, it's just hard to go undefeated. Then we got to be 20-0, and the players start telling us, coaches, hey, coach, we're 20-0, we're pretty good. I said, yeah, you're pretty good, but there's always better teams, and you got to keep working, and, you know, things could fall apart real quick, so you got to keep working hard. And, you know, we kept going back and forth with that. Then we're 28-0, and the only team undefeated in the country, and we're 22 ranked in the country. And you know, it's a little harder to tell them they're not very good and they got to get better and they got to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, we did go 33-1 in the conference, which is pretty special, you know, and then went 39-5 overall with all the postseason play, too. So best record in college baseball ever in Division I. So that's a pretty good mark, even though it was an odd year. But it's still, from what the cards we were dealt in the season schedule we were given, give our guys a lot of credit. They really did the job in a lot of different areas on our team and against the opponents.
It's funny you mentioned that there's always a better team, because me and Kyle, throughout the whole season, we saw, as the Fairfield kind of started to get national attention, a lot of people on Twitter, like Arkansas fans, like the big SEC schools, like the call out, be like, oh, I'd like to see Fairfield come and play Vanderbilt in, and we would just, it's just kind of that, it supports that idea that there's always a better team out there. Like, even though you're 33
it was,
more.
It was like that. We heard the, you know, we heard the buzz about that, and I don't blame them. I mean, I was an assistant for 1 year at Tennessee in the SEC, and you know, you think you got the best conference in the country, and your worst team could beat any other conference team. But you know, I've told people this, and I believe in it. If you put an ACC team in the MAC, they're going to lose two games. I mean, something's going to happen where they're going to see a real good pitcher one day, and you're going to lose 1-0, 2-1. You know, it's just the way the baseball gods are. You know, it's so hard to do what we did. And, you know, we're 28-0 at a time and 33-1. So that was pretty special. It doesn't matter who you are. And I think the SEC and ACC had a little hard time with that, certainly, that we weren't allowed to play out of our league. But, you know, we kept our kids thinking, just control what you can control. Don't worry about anybody else, what else is saying. You win the games that are put on your schedule, and you do the things that you personally do to make your team better, and just worry about that. Don't worry about what everybody's saying is you don't deserve to be 22nd ranked in the country or anything like that. And then it came to the regionals, and I think we legitimized our season and our record and our conference, how good it is to win two games, and one of them to eliminate Arizona State in the semifinals and go to the regional final against the number two team in the country, Texas. So I think that really legitimized kind of what we did and where we were at. And it, I think it put a lot of, pride in the teams in the Northeast too, that we got some pretty good baseball here in the Northeast, and I think we were one of the ones that really proved it in our regional.
Yeah, so obviously 33-1 regular season record, just crazy good. So going to the MAC tournament, obviously you must have had a ton of confidence. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way you wanted it to, but is there anything you would have done differently coaching-wise, knowing that you ended up not making it to the MAC finals?
No, we actually saw a pitcher throw a tremendous game against us from Canisius, opening game, and beat us in a close game there. So that was, you know, not unforesung, but we hadn't seen the kid, and he threw a great game. It was good for them. And then we felt, though, we had enough depth in pitching to come back through the loser's bracket like we did. Got all the way back to the finals. And, you know, John Signor didn't have his best game. I think he gave up 3 home runs, and then we gave up 5 home runs against a team that only hit 13 home runs the whole year. So good for Ryder. They had their momentum at the right time. They couldn't do wrong, and things were going their way, and that's a lot of times how you win a tournament in just 3 or 4 days. So, but we knew we had a chance for an at-large. I think we are very deserving of it based on our record alone. And I think it was deserving, and I think we proved that to the selection board in the regional.
Yeah, was that was the feeling after not winning the MAC title, was it like going to the selection show, were the players more expecting to get that at-large bid, or were more like
nervous?
Like, well, we blew our chance.
We were nervous. I mean, we should to be all honest, I mean, you should be nervous. I mean, most of the time that'll go to a UConn or maybe a St. John's, but no other team usually gets that out of the Northeast, especially a small school like us, to receive that. So you never knew what the selection committee was thinking and who they're going to give them to. But we not only made an at-large bid, but we were a 3 seed. So they really saw the year that we had and wanted to, you know, keep that in mind when they were making their selection and give us that opportunity, which I think we proved them right in the regional by winning two games.
Yeah, and obviously you definitely proved it going into Texas. We want to take a step back and just talk about Texas as a whole at the regionals. How important was it for you to pick up those wins, the first regional wins in Fairfield history, especially after all you've invested into this team over the past decade?
Yeah, I mean, when I got here 10 years ago, you know, we knew this was a tremendous school, Fairfield University. It's just the foundation of our program and the athletic program here needed to be upgraded. Our facility now is one of the best facilities in our conference. We have a tremendous hitting, pitching, indoor, we call the barn indoors here. We have a great turf stadium right next to us, lacrosse plays in, that we use that turf also. So it's really, we built up the infrastructure of the program. We have just recruited our tails off to try to get better talent in here, which we've done, increase our depth. And the school itself stands by itself also. It's a phenomenal educational school, which yields a lot of jobs before the kids even graduate. And so I think putting those two things together, athletics and a great academic school, looking for the right kid to get here, I think we've done a good job at that. My assistants and myself and have combined this effort. We got a brand new, beautiful locker room here, which alumni have stepped up and provided. And you know, that's the key, getting people to buy in and help you build an infrastructure and put things together and put a talented team on the field that's going to have the amenities to work at their skill and become better and better. So we've done that in a 10-year period where we won the MAC championship in 2016 and then got that at large year this year. So we're building something for the long term, and our new athletic director 3 years ago, Paul Slickman, has that vision in mind to become better and better and to give us the ingredients we need to stay on the top of the conference and keep putting out a winning team each year. And you know, that's the goal of us coaches and players every year.
Yeah, and obviously a crazy season, an unlikely season with everything going on. It's going to produce some crazy stories, some funny stories. Obviously, you had the wedding to go to during the regionals, all the way up to Vermont and back to Texas. What was that like? Crazy 24, 48 hours.
That was trains, planes, and automobiles. That was I didn't sleep for 3 days. I tried to sleep for 2 hours on the flight back from the wedding, back to the game at 1 o'clock against Arizona State, the second game there on Sunday. And I'm flying back, and the flight attendant taps me on the shoulder and wakes me up from certainly a dead sleep. And she told me my mask had slipped down over my nose and back up. And I think my eye contact on her eyes were a look of kill. But that's the only sleep I got for 3 days. And then I was on such a high for our players doing so well and our, you know, winning and stuff. It was, you know, I didn't really feel it. I think I slept for a week, though, after I got back. So it was an interesting time, that's for sure. I'm glad all the flights turned out and everything. You know, we won the game I missed, which was against the 4 seed Southern. So my assistant stepped up and did a great job, and we didn't change a thing. And the players, you know, didn't blink when I left and came back, and we won the next game. So it was a good tournament all the way around, going right to the finals. We were just out of gas, and the crowd at Texas, that final game, 10,000 people screaming at us, and it was a little different type of arena there than we had played the other 3 games. And as soon as the crowd quieted down, we went to a 2-2 game for the first 6 innings after we couldn't throw strikes for the first 3. So it was an interesting tournament.
But getting revenge on Arizona State was
that felt good.
Sweetest
for us. Especially after how the first game ended.
Yeah, we really, really enjoyed that game, that second win.
Yeah, up by two in the first game on Friday night, and then they got a walk-off to beat us was a little disheartening because going into the tournament, we felt, after researching the teams, we felt like we could hang, certainly, and beat them if we found a way to hit and score a few more runs. They were the best hitting team, I think, in the tournament. Arizona State. They had a young team, but they could swing it, and they could play defense. Their pitching was thin and didn't throw strikes and had some difficulties. We felt like if we got to them, we could do well against them. And then we were up two and then lost, and then we had to play them again. We felt, all right, let's go. Let's beat them this game and where we should have Friday night. So it was a good redo with them, and to beat them by two again. You know, we came up in that ninth inning with the same pitcher on the mound for us, Mike Sansone. He was throwing in relief, and their same order was up. It was the same score, two-run advantage, and the same order was up for them. So it was just eerie that everything was exactly on Sunday, 1 o'clock game, in the ninth inning as it was Friday night in that game.
So. Yeah, that's weird.
But and we obviously switched it up, brought in Signor to strike out the last batter to win the game.
Of course. So a great tournament all around. For the last couple minutes here, we just want to take a look ahead to this season. Obviously, the excitement's at an all-time high. So looking ahead to this season, obviously you lost some very important players, whether it be to graduation or to draft. So how important is it for your returning players to step up and repeat their strong seasons, whether it be your pitchers or some of those hitters you talked about before?
Yeah, it's not only our current players that did pretty well last year to repeat what they did or get better. It's some other players like Charlie Pagliarini, Mike Bichetti, Ryan Strollo, Matt Venuto. These are juniors that need to take their game up a level like the other guys did last year. Mike Handel to return to his form that he had. excuse me. Mike Caruso. He's back for his fifth year as our catcher, the field general for us. He's back another year, which is tremendous. You know, losing Danny Ryan and Sean Cullen and Justin Guerrero to the draft, you know, that's a very difficult.
Did we lose him?
I think we might have. Did we lose him? I don't know. It lagged a little bit here.
McLaughlin under the year to come back, and he obviously signed two of the Mets, just like Justin Guerrero. But Sean Cullen, Danny Ryan, and between those three guys and Guerrero, that's half our hits on our whole team. So that's a lot to replace. We feel we have another good Union kid from Union College transfer, and Colin Kelly, who will probably play in the middle infield, shortstop, second here. A first baseman that came in from Tempe, Arizona. Funny enough, he's from Arizona State, where they're from in Tempe. He's a 20-year-old freshman that we're looking to add to the lineup pretty quickly here also. So Matt Bergevin. So we do have a couple transfer pitchers coming in. We did have some returning Bryson Cafaro, who was 4-0, his pitcher, relief pitcher of the year in the conference. He's back. Going to grad school for the fifth year, as well as Nick Graybeck is back also, and also going to grad school. So, and Jason Hebner is another pitcher that's back also. So three pitchers plus Caruso coming back for their fifth year is a nice thing to have.
Yeah, it's nice to get some of those names to look out for early, not just for us, for everyone listening, to see who will be leading the team this year.
So obviously, I mean, you seem pretty confident in this team. Seem pretty confident in this team last year. So I have to imagine your goals for the season are pretty sky high. Am I correct?
We go into the year every year thinking we got to win the conference. You can't plan on at large bids, that's for sure. you got to plan on getting the automatic qualifier by winning the tournament. So the goal is to win the league, win the tournament, and go to regionals and win the regionals. So that's a goal every year that we have. If you don't have that goal, you shouldn't be playing here, and we don't want to recruit you. So that's what we're looking to do every year. And, you know, I think we're going to have a good run this year. And it's just a question of having some guys step up, having a few big holes filled with our seniors that graduated or the guys that were drafted. And I think we'll be in good shape in the spring. So we're getting healthy right now, and just looking at our guys and teaching the young guys and doing a lot of skill work and getting ready for the to have a good fall, and then we'll have a better idea and evaluation of what we're going to look like in the spring.
Yeah, and that's a great mindset to have. Obviously, there's been news that just came out today. We had to add this question in last minute. About a new addition to the staff, Matt Marullo, an assistant coach joining Stags, former MLB player, minor league coach, and scout. So can you just talk a little bit about him, his addition to the team, and, you know, your excitement around that?
Yeah, Matt Marullo, just, you know, I put the word out that we're looking for a volunteer and a catching guy. And usually us coaches are looking for a 24, 25-year-old that wants to get into coaching and would like to. And it's a great opportunity for someone at a Division I level. And then I got named that Matt Marullo is kind of in the area, lives in Madison, and he is possibly looking to coach in college and things. And I said, boy, he'd be a great addition. You know, this is a guy with more experience than any of us coaches combined here on our staff, really with the big league experience, and was a scout for the Angels for 11 years and was a manager in the New York Penn League with the Oriole organization, ran spring training. I mean, this guy is legit experience that nobody else usually can even come near on their staff. So to have him as our volunteer coach and be working with our catchers and hitters, and, you know, we're very fortunate to have him here. So we're real excited about it. He's in his second week now, and we're just tickled pink that he's able to be on our staff. Help our team.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting to have a former big leaguer in the staff, especially for the players, I can imagine.
That's right.
All right, so we got two more kind of general questions we got to ask you. We ask these questions to everyone we interview on here, so just two quick ones to wrap the show up.
So if you could name one player, former, current, that you think would be a good guest on this show, who would it be?
I didn't hear the question, Jack.
One player, could you name one player, former or current, that you had that would be a good guest on this show?
I think last year's left fielder, Owen Wasliger, he DH'd and played left field for us. I think he would be a great interview about the season last year in our program, and because he was a one-year player here that came in, and he just had a great experience, and he's in the area. He works for admissions now at Sacred Heart, and he might be a good one to get on your show here.
I think he would
raise some eyebrows too.
I think he actually reached out to our radio station last year, not our show, but our station, about getting a show last year. I'm not sure if he ever did one. So
doesn't surprise me.
That sounds like a good answer. And then finally, our final question for you, which we ask to all of our guests, is to leave us with a funny story or an interesting story from the season that, you know, no one really knew about. So obviously you had the wedding one, but maybe something else.
No, the wedding one's been beat up, and we're done with that. And my son's still married, so that's all good. No, in the regional, we're playing against Arizona State. We're down 5-0, and Sean Cullen hasn't caught up to fastballs yet. And he looks like he's getting blown away. And I called him over, and I said, "Hey, Sean," I said, "you look like a JV high school player playing in a varsity game, because you are just getting overmatched, and you cannot catch up to this kid's fastball. And I'm not sure I shouldn't pinch hit for you, because you're looking so overmatched." And he's such a competitor. I knew this would get under his skin. And he went back to the plate and ripped one off the center field batter's eye for a two-run homer. I think it was a two-run homer. And he comes around third base and he hits the bag. And he goes, "JV, huh, coach?" So that was a good story. And I knew how to get under his skin, and he responded like I knew he would. And that was funny. The team heard that, and That was typical Sean Cullen.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's probably one of the better responses to that question we've had on here. So we appreciate it. That'll wrap up our interview today. We really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. A lot of great responses. And we're really excited for this season to keep continuing the coverage of you guys. So, again, thank you so much, Coach.
All right. Thanks for following us, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
All right. There you have it, the interview with Bill Currier. Solid interview, I'd say. We also have Drew joining us right now. Let me put his mic on. Say what's up, Drew.
How's it going?
All right. So Drew's joining us. He'll be in and out of here throughout the year. Drew does a second show with us called Evening Sports. We've been doing for 4 years.
Afternoon sports now.
Afternoon sports on right after the show. But we still got another half hour for Red Sea Radio. So first, I guess, what were your thoughts on that? I thought it was a pretty solid interview.
I wasn't expecting them to be so talkative. I don't know.
Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect going into it because, I don't know, I haven't seen a whole lot of media with him on it, right? Yeah. Like a lot of interviews and
like
stuff
like that.
When
we do Jae Young, like, you kind of, like, recognize the face, you kind of know.
Yeah.
Even, like, Jae Young, though, you have to, like, rip answers at him, I feel like.
No, I feel like he's pretty talkative.
I know, but, like, sometimes he doesn't like to, like, have those stories. Like, you mentioned, like, Bill, like.
Oh, the story, yeah.
Like, you kind of have to get him to.
Also, like, he did say a couple things that I feel like Jae Young would have taken the more, like, political.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
What'd he say about. I think about getting, like, revenge on Arizona State, stuff like that.
He would be more like the classic, like, Belichickian, like.
Like, we just went into it winning
every the next game.
Yeah, so I thought he gave some good answers. I wish we would have had more time with him. He had to go at 2:30. But I think for what we asked, pretty solid interview. Hopefully we can get him back on again. He seemed into it. He was cracking jokes with us even before the interview. Mm-hmm. So thank you to Coach Currier, and we really appreciate it. I thought it was interesting. He gave us some names to look forward to in this upcoming season. Definitely something we wanted to hear. And, you know, some good stories and just memories of a historic season. So, again, thank you, Coach, for that. We appreciate it. Moving on into the second half of this show, we just got a couple things to talk about here and there. First of all, a couple of Coach Currier's former players now, Justin Guerrera and Trey McLaughlin, just won the East Division Championship with the St. Lucie Mets.
And he hit a home run in the clinching game, Justin? Or
was it the clinching game?
One of the last games I think I saw him.
You saw it on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that, too.
I didn't see the stat line. I didn't see, like,
I saw a tweet that he, hit a home run. And he started. He was starting in those games. And I think they might be in the playoffs now for, like, that league. So we'll keep it locked in with them and keep seeing what they do. But, Southeast Division Championship. So
what is that, low A?
It's low A affiliate, St. Lucie Mets. And, I'm trying to pull up the stats, but basically, he's what, two, not two, he's like 5 or 6 months removed from, you know, getting drafted or even less than that. And he's already winning the championship. So obviously that's good to see. But yeah, I can't really find the score. Is this it? Was it, I don't know what teams they played. Anyway,
I saw their celebration.
Saw the celebration. We tweeted about it. So that's nice. Nice to see. Fairfield basketball stuff. I know the women's team.
I saw they announced their preseason tournament.
Yeah, so they announced the preseason tournament today. It's I believe it's
Florida Gulf Coast is one of them.
Is it A-Sun and MAC?
Yeah, A-Sun. That's what it is.
So it's the A-Sun and the MAC. I think. Let's see, they're playing Florida Gulf Coast, so that's the team they're playing in it. There's a whole slate of teams in it, and I know it's on the women's side, it's Fairfield, Manhattan, and then also Iona and Manhattan men's side is also in that. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think Iona picks up a game against maybe Liberty, is it? So they pick up a game against Liberty. All those games will be nationally televised, so Fairfield will be on ESPN or maybe not nationally televised, but it's on ESPN3. November 20th, it's a Saturday at noon. So that'll be exciting. It's cool to be back in those tournaments, you know.
The preseason ones.
Preseason tournaments. And
we just have to get the Maui Invitational in South Carolina again.
Yeah, and just to get that, just to get those experience in and that exposure. Fairfield Soccer won last night. I worked the game.
Another one?
Yeah, they won.
Oh, they
won
tied last.
They played Hartford.
Okay.
So I was at the game working the guest pass list. And they scored 1-0. They scored a penalty in the first half pretty early in the game. And what they call a vintage Fairfield Stags defensive performance led them to a 1-0
victory.
Yeah,
you know why? Because our boy started the vintageness, Matt Turner.
Matt Turner? When they say vintage...
They mean 20...
No, they probably mean...
2012.
Probably 2016. Speaking of the women's basketball team, though, we had an injury in our intramural basketball game last night, and we had the privilege and honor of playing with Janelle Brown, who's on the team.
Really?
She filled in to be our third in three-on-threes. She's a good player. She's definitely helped the offense flow a lot more than we... Then it was flowing when we had our third guy in there.
See, Drew comes on the show and just brings in a little anecdote that we wouldn't have had beforehand. So that's the type of things with the addition of Drew.
It's fun to play with her.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think is she a sophomore or junior?
She's a sophomore.
Sophomore, okay. Yeah, so Fairfield women's basketball, it's interesting. They've had a good team the past few years. They fell short to some good players. Obviously, Marist took them down last year. They had a solid player. But, senior year for Lou Lopez-Senichal, Andrea, both of those players, along with some other very good players as well, is going to be interesting. You know, Lou's coming off like a preseason player of the year last year and just very solid performances. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. If there's a team that could go on a run, it could be them for that side. So. We're interested there. Men's basketball, I still don't really think there's been much to really...
Just the calm before the storm.
Go over. Yeah, like really the calm before the storm. I know they announced the men's, or not the men's, but just the MAC in general, the MAC award show, preseason award show. I think it's in mid-October. I want to say the 19th maybe, somewhere around there. So that's when we'll know, the preseason awards and what's going on with that. So that'll be exciting. And we'll obviously cover that. But other than that, I'm not sure if there's really much else to cover here today. We really appreciate getting the interview because we didn't have much to talk about prior to that. I guess we could look a little bit more at Matt Murillo just because we didn't want to waste too much of coach's time.
Was that pitch-hitting thing true? Did you ever verify that?
We'll take a look at it now. I didn't want to waste too much of coach's time talking about it, but... Basically, Murillo, he has 25 years of experience in professional baseball in different avenues of play as a player, as a manager, as a scout. He played he was a scouting supervisor for Arizona Diamondbacks, helped sign over 50 players to professional baseball over 12 years. He also played for the Chicago White Sox. He was drafted in 86. He spent six seasons in the league. As a catcher and a first baseman, he had 116 hits for the White Sox, Indians, and Twins. And he also led the American League with 47 pinch hits in 1991, including a ninth-inning game-tying two-out pinch hit home run against the Red Sox, which you guys would like to hear.
Yeah.
Experience. I think Coach just hyped him up even more than that, telling us the experience is incredible.
All of them combined.
And I thought it was interesting, too, is that... He's a volunteer assistant coach. So, an unpaid volunteer assistant coach. So, first of all, he really wants to be here. But it was interesting how Coach pointed out that position, they usually try to get guys more in, an internship role where it's, younger guys who want to build their resume, right, coaching at a D1 school, going unpaid, but, still getting that experience. He said 25, 26-year-olds. And to instead fill that position with someone very experienced, even overqualified, is a very, very great bargain for them. So that's exciting. He's going to get to work with guys like Caruso, Venuto, catchers that already had good seasons last year. So we'll see how much better he can make them. And then obviously also the connections that he has, with helping guys go to the league will also be a very positive thing as well. So that's exciting there. I'm trying to think, was there anything else from the interview you wanted to talk about? It's tough when you're going through it.
Yeah.
You don't really remember everything that's said. Almost got to go back and listen to it. But, you know, I think it's interesting going back to the COVID stuff, how he talked about how they had to worry about everyone. You know, one of the things they had to worry about as well is other teams getting sick that are Fairfield.
Yeah,
like other Fairfield teams getting sick. Because last year I worked in the Walsh Center, and, you know, if one team got COVID,
they were all
the whole
contacts.
Center shut down.
Yeah, they were all close contacts.
And just the whole center would shut down. So if one team got COVID, no one could work out. No one could go to the weight room. You know, everyone shut down. So not only worrying about the baseball team, but also worrying about every single other team that uses
baseball,
that facility.
That's one of the harder things to, like, do on your own. Like, you need most baseball players need, like, a throwing program or
a partner,
whatever.
At least.
Need someone to throw with. Like, being isolated like that makes baseball kind of one of the harder things to do by yourself.
Yeah, and then, you know, just talking about his expectations, he knew he was very confident for the season. Seems very confident again this year. That, you know, guys will step up into those positions that were lost.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is a bunch of guys coming back that still have that experience. It's just like losing. I thought it was interesting when he talked about losing. He named a few names. I think it glitched a little bit at that point.
Yeah.
But he named a few names, and then he said, you know, that was half our hits last year, and we lost those guys.
Yeah.
I think it was Colin Guerrera and maybe Dan Ryan. It might have been those three guys.
Yeah, Dan was a senior.
It might have been those three guys or more, but he talked about, you know, we lost X amount of players,
and
that was half.
Owen.
Yeah, and he talked about, you know, that was half our hits. So that's interesting. They got to get production from other guys now in other areas. And he talked about, too, like Caruso, Handel, guys like that. He didn't necessarily expect to have those seasons.
Yeah.
So you hope they can replicate those seasons.
Fluke.
You know what I mean? You hope it wasn't like a breakout or just a fluke. You hope it was more of a breakout where they're going to be like that again. So that was interesting.
I mean, I think it's the pitching will be there. He'll know the pitching's going to be there. And then the hitting will kind of fill in. Like last season, he said, like, they knew they had good pitching. And the hitting ended up just working out and filling in for them. So maybe it'll be the same way this year.
Yeah, and he mentioned us getting Owen on our show. I think he's liked some of our tweets before. So maybe he's listening, or maybe he will
you connect with him on LinkedIn.
Now we'll toss him a follow on the Twitter right now, and you know what, we could reach out to him. We have our interview set for next week already, so we're just pumping out interviews here until the basketball season really starts. Next week, we're going to have Zach Dayton on the show, Deputy Athletic Director at Fairfield University. I work with him from time to time. He's kind of like my boss's boss, though, so I don't work with him as much. But he does a lot. He does a whole lot for Fairfield sports. He's always running around doing everything and just growing the brand and stuff like that. So we'll have him on next week. We could talk about, like, the business side of what he does. Maybe some additions, some stuff for the future. He mentioned talking about the Convocation Center, and also just talking about sports to him, about Fairfield sports and his opinion on stuff like that. So I think that'll be a fun interview. He's coming in the studio next week, so that's our first in-person interview ever on here, so that'll be pretty cool. What else? Today is September 22nd. That makes a week and a half till something very important. And I'm not talking about Drew's 21st birthday. I'm talking about Matt Turner night at Fairfield University.
Wait,
what night is that?
October 2nd. Saturday, October 2nd.
We'll be there.
We're going to be there. I actually, like, will not miss that for the world.
Mm-mm.
We're definitely going to be there. And if you're listening, you could be there too. I think it's at the men's soccer game Saturday, October 2nd. And he's going to be taking pictures, signing autographs, stuff like that, I think, after the game. And I think they're recognizing him at halftime. And, you know, that'll be fun. But you can check that all out on Fairfield's website. I think it's on their promotional schedule. So we'll be there. Excited for that. Has Troy Bradford reached out to you yet?
Not to me. I could reach out to him at some point.
Yeah, I mean, they asked me last week for your number, and then they would reach out to you. So we'll see. That might be the interview after Zach Dayton. Also want to get Mido on kind of soon as well. So we're planning here to give you guys some good shows, some good content, and I think we did that today a little bit with the Coach Currier interview. I really don't think there's much else to talk about. Still a solid show, 46 minutes deep. Anything else on your end?
No, not really. I mean, we're in a dead zone right now in terms of sports. We have soccer. We actually have men's and women's soccer, but they don't play like constantly like baseball or basketball, so it's harder to fill the time. But
yeah, and it's also not. I feel like it's not as easily accessible.
Except, yeah,
online,
you can't just find it on
and stuff.
ESPN like the basketball team.
But you know, we still go. I'm gonna be working out a bunch of them, so we'll still cover it a
you
little bit.
You watched game one. Colin went to game two. Is that game one and two? Or
well, they played games before that, but I think like those
one
are the first home games.
Campus.
Yeah, those are the first home games. They play, or I think women's soccer plays next Wednesday here as well. Also, field hockey season.
Of course,
I know.
Is that in
could,
the fall?
That's right now, I think.
Oh wow.
We were. Yeah.
We going for another NEC title?
Hopefully.
Potentially. I think there's a team in the league that's a lot better than them this year, though. I forget who it is, but there's a good team in the league. But who knows? Maybe we'll have to get an interview. Maybe we'll have to get some interviews. I know Drew's got the connections.
Y'all got connections.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we'll see. I think that's going to wrap it up for our show. And I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Coach Currier. We had a fun time. Make sure you tune in next week. Same time, 2 p.m. Wednesdays, live, or you can always listen to us on streaming services soon after that. We'll have Zach Dayton with us next week on Red Sea Radio to talk about the business side of sports at Fairfield and also just some regular sports stuff. Very excited for that. Tune in next week, 2 p.m. It's been Red Sea Radio Season 2. Episode 2. Thanks for listening to us. Interact with us on Twitter and everything like that. Until next week, we're going to end it off like we always do by saying
Go Stags.
Go Stags.
Go Stags.
All right. We'll see you next week.